Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahawa, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Mufti Muhammad Akusab will be advising us, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim wa sallallahu ala nabi lumi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Alhamdulillah. With the fadl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we had to discuss the lives of the greatest of people. And as we have come out of this Mubarak month of Ramadan, may Allah give us tawfiq to continue with the blessings of Ramadan. We are in this month of Shawwal, and Shawwal means a remainder. The remainder of the water that's in a container, the remainder of the milk that is in the udders of the camel or the animal. What it means is we have to continue with the blessings of the month of Ramadan. May Allah enable us to live with these blessings. Because Ramadan was to actually help us change and channel our life in Allah's pleasure. Not just to be seasonal Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability. Hazrat Marana in Amul Hasan rahmatullahi alayhi would say that jo zindagi guzarega Ramadan ki tarah. He who aspires to spend his life like he and she spent Ramadan, Allah will make it such. Maut aayegi Eid ki chand ki tarah. Allah will make it such that the time this person has to leave the world, he'll be so happy and she'll be so elated. It'll be such joy like when others sight the moon of Eid. So Allah give us all tawfiq to aspire, to live our lives, basing it on the foundation of Ramadan. That's why I want to share these ayat in Surah 41. I'm mentioning this because we would love you to check it up. Look up in your Qur'an-i Kareem so we can learn and live with these verses. If we just hear the advice, okay, alhamdulillah, we would benefit. But once we follow up and we learn it, then we acquire it. And we receive it and we earned it. Now when you've taken it, you own it. So take the knowledge to practice it and share it. In this chapter, chapter 41, verses 30 onward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Indeed, those who say, قَالُوا, this is their statement, this is their utterance, and this is their belief. رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, our Rabb is Allah. رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then they remain on this belief, on yaqeen in Allah, conviction in Allah, firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing Allah, loving Allah, aspiring to please Allah. And they live in appreciation and confession that everything is from Allah and everything is controlled by Allah. رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And they aspire to remain upon this forever, for the rest of their lives, until the time they leave this world. And we learn that the first question in the grave is the same. مَنْ رَبُّكَ. So this entire life is actually to help us prepare for those questions in the grave. And interestingly, those questions in the grave are not to be answered by the tongue. It's to be answered how we lived our lives, how we spent our lives. That's how we will be able to answer. رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then they remain upon this belief with istiqama. What happens to them? Now here Allah says, the malaika descend upon them. This is in their worldly life and especially at the time of their death. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. The malaika of Allah descend upon them. The malaika of Allah come down to them. In this life also, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in this hadith concerning the masajid, Allah make us people of the masajid. Allah make it such that we didn't only aspire to be in the masjid in the month of Ramadan, but as believers we seize every opportunity to be part and parcel of the people of the masjid. Allah make us of masjid wale, those who will be frequenting the masjid, those who would be abundantly spending time in the masjid, those who would be making lots of ibadah in the masjid, and those who would aspire to bring humanity to the house of Allah, to the masajid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that how happy does a person become when his family member, when the husband, when the father returns home, look at the level of joy of the children and the wife, the family. This man has been absent for years. He's undertaken a lengthy journey for months. He was gone and now he returns and everyone joyfully awaits him. And look at the level of their joy when he arrives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a mu'min comes to the masjid, يَتَبَشْبَشُ اللَّهُ لَهُ كَمَا يَتَبَشْبَشُ أَهْلُ الْغَائِبِ بِغَائِبِهِمْ إِذَا قَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah becomes even happier. Allah becomes so happy. And the example the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave is like when a person returns home after a very long time. And how happy does his children and his family members become, his parents become. Happier than that is Allah's joy when the mu'min comes to the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلْمَسَاجِدِ أَوْتَادًا. The masajid have pegs. Now what's a peg? A peg is what keeps the tent stable. If it's not for the peg, the tent will fall. In the Quran Kareem, the mountains are equated to pegs. And this also shocks scientists. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا. This shocks scientists that how did the Quran express the mountain so aptly, so precisely? Because now they come to know that if it's not for the mountains, the earth would be trembling and collapsing and moving about all over the place. It's the mountains that's keeping the earth firmly embedded. This shocks them. Alhamdulillah, many of them embrace Islam as they see and they study the Quran Kareem. Or they study and then they realize that these are phenomena mentioned in the Quran Kareem 1400 years ago. So the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the masajid have pigs. Al-malaikatu julasa'uhum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the malaika are their companions. Meaning when they're making ibadah, when they're pleasing Allah, the malaika are sitting around them. The malaika are enthronging around them. The malaika love to hover and be around them. And this is how subhanAllah, Allah enhances them in angelic qualities. And that is the ability to stay away from sin and please Allah and serve others and make khidmah to others and bring happiness to in the lives of others and make dua for others. Al-malaika tujulasa'uhum. In غَابُوا يَفْتَقِدُونَهُمْ. When these specific servants are not there, and they had to leave on some errand, the malaika leave the masajid to look for such servants of Allah. Where are they? Where are they gone? The malaika look for them. And when they are ill, the malaika frequently visit them. And when they're out on some errand to fulfill their works, the malaika come to help them in the fulfillment of those errands so they can return quickly to the masajid. Allah make us of such servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man alifa al-masjid alifahu Allah. He who loves the masajid, Allah loves him. This hadith says masjid. Allah give us love for our masajid, all masajid. In the hadith of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein seven people would be under the shade of Allah's throne on that day when humanity would be drowning in their perspiration. In that hadith, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That person whose heart is connected to the masajid, he loves the masajid. And also we learn that our love must be, yes, for all the masajid. How can every masjid come alive? With the a'mal of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this ayah in chapter 41 verse 30, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The malaika descend upon them, especially at the time of their death. Now when they're leaving this world, so in this life, also malaika were with them. And they spend their life preparing practically on how will they answer the question in the grave, مَا رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكْ مَنْ نَبِيُّكْ. This is our preparation in this entire life. Every day we have to prepare so that when we have to leave this world, Allah's love and the correct response emanates from the heart correctly. Like in Hayatul Sahaba, the report concerning Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, when you enter your grave and the malaika present themselves before you, before they can even interrogate you, you would say to them, that you know what? My Allah, Allah is my Rabb, who is your Rabb? Allahu Rabbi faman Rabbukuma. Islam is my way of life, what is your way of life? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Nabi and role model, who is yours? Now respected brothers and sisters, young and old, who are we going to take as our role model? Who do we take as our role model? That's how our answer would be. The hadith is clear in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A mu'min would be able to respond and he would answer this question correctly. But he who did not take deen as the purpose of his life and he was not driven by deen and he did not take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak life as his role model, he would not be able to respond because this answer does not emanate from the tongue. Allahu Akbar. The malaika shook from the statement of Hazrat Umar, that are we sent to interrogate him or is he to interrogate us? So the malaika descend upon him, especially at the time of death. And at that time when he's leaving this world, they say to him, Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abashiru. Do not fear, nor should you grieve, subhanallah. Now he's worried, he's scared about the forthcoming stages, he's going to a new world. The malaika say, do not fear. In the hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the deceased is about to leave this world, the malaika present themselves before him. And if he was a righteous person, they would say to him, Ukhruji ayyatuhan nafsu tayyiba. O wonderful soul, O pure soul, come out from this body. You were in a wonderful body, come in a praiseworthy manner. Rejoice with success and happiness and relaxation and comfort. And Allah, who would never be upset with you, and he would be reassured and comforted like this. And then as he's escalated into the heavens, فَيُفْتَحُ لَهَا, the doors would be opened for him, and he would be introduced in a most respectable manner. Subhanallah, how he was respected. He did praiseworthy actions. So we learn from this hadith also. Allah give us tawfiq to do actions of goodness, actions of khidmat for humanity. And we acquire titles that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serving to humanity. From there, even the malaika would introduce, because these malaika heard how this person was loved in this world. And this is how he would be recognized in the afterlife. And he would be honored. The hadith of Sahih Muslim explains that the soul of this person would depart from his body easily, like droplets of water from a container, easily with... in a soothing manner would his soul depart from his body. Allah make it easy for all of us. When the malaika of Allah come to take the soul of a fajir, a defiant sinner, Allah Ta'ala save us, an opulent one, a defiant one, a disobedient one. So the fajir and the kafir, when he sees the sight of the angel, this horrific sight, he becomes so scared and petrified that he doesn't want to go. And he sees this horrific scene. His soul hides in the body. And the malaika pull out his soul from his body. And he is wrenched and pulled. And there's so much of pain in this. That's why his feet kick. And he suffers as the soul is departing from the body. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, like something with thorns, like a thorny plant pulled out of moistened wool, kas min as-suf al-mablul, or something like a metal comb, some iron pulled out of wool. And what does it do to that wool? In the same way, what happens to this person's veins and limbs as the soul is being pulled out? Hazrat Maulana Zakariya rahmatullah alayh narrates an amazing incident in his book Fada'il al-Sadaqat. What an amazing kitab that we should read daily in our homes and establish the halaqa of ta'aleem with this kitab as well. This is amazing for our spirituality and for our preparation for the afterlife and to enable us to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this we can instill these beautiful teachings and qualities in our children. In this, under the discussion of death, a true event is reported about an arrogant, haughty king who one morning as he wanted to depart from his kingdom on a tour, he instructs his servants to arrange for him his garments. And it took him hours to choose a garment. And after arrogantly, haughtily, finally refusing this, rejecting that, accepting this, he then is presented with his conveyances. And that took him another few hours. Finally he chose the conveyance that he loved or was suitable to him, to his likings. Meaning prioritizing everything of this world. And then as he departs in his entourage, applauded by his people, and as he comes out of the gates of his huge palace, applauded by everyone, there was an old, feeble man in tattered and torn clothing. And the man calls the king, "O king, I need to speak to you." And as he looks, he sees an old man. And now he was even more offended and upset that someone of no standing whatsoever addresses me like that and wants to speak to me. He rejects what this person, the request of the old man. The old man insisted and came forth saying that, "I have to speak to you." He says, "What is it that you want?" He says, "I need to speak to you in your ear. I need to whisper in your ear." And Allah put fear in the ruler's heart, so he lowers his ear. And he would have been wondering at the time that why isn't the soldier stopping this man? But it would have been Allah's will that they couldn't have seen the old man, because he was actually what we're going to hear. The old man whispers in his ear saying, "I am the angel of death. I am Malakul Maut." And the old man, and this king now becomes petrified and scared, and he starts to seek respite. "Give me some time. I still need to get things done. I have so many errands." And the angel of death hears nothing. When one's time elapses, that is the time he has to be taken. And his soul was pulled out of his body and laid there like a dirty old casted rag. But the report then says, it gives another example of the angel of death, but in the same incident. The angel of death went to visit a righteous man, and he was out on an errand. See how Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for those who love Allah and please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the angel says to him that, "You know, your time has elapsed." So this person says, "You know, welcome, O Malakul Maut. There's nothing and there's no one I have been awaiting like I awaited you." He says, "But Allah has sent me and you have an option." He says, "What is my option?" He says, "You can fulfill your errands and then we'll take you." He says, "There's nothing more important to me than meeting my Allah. And every day I make sure I'm ready to meet my Allah." And this is how the righteous spend their every day, as though it's to be the last day of their life. So he says, "Okay, how do you want to die?" He says, "Take me how my Allah wants you to take me." He says, "Allah gives you this option." He says, "If Allah is happy with giving me this option, I would love to make my wudu and start my salah. And in my sajda, my Allah would take me. That would bring a lot of shukr to me and appreciation to me." And that's how he was taken. So Allah give us good death. It's among the early statements of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a teaching of our deen. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ As you live your life, that is how you will die. So this report teaches us that we can actually choose the way we want to die. Please Allah, make Allah happy, prioritize the afterlife. Allah will make it that we'll die in a good condition. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ As you live your life, that's how you would die. وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبَعْثُونَ And as you die, that is how you would be resurrected. Respected ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's choose the way we want to die. Let's please Allah every day. Let's make ourselves ready every day. We heard in this morning Fajr Salah, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, in the first rak'ah of the recital of the Imam. And this chapter highlights, this is a chapter after Surah Luqman, chapter 31 and then 32. Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda is an explanation to the fact that is ambiguous. Five aspects that are ambiguous. There are five matters of the unseen that's mentioned in Surah Luqman that only Allah knows. And those five aspects are detailed in this chapter, especially death. So those five, like one righteous man, some reports say it was Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, saw a dream where Malakul Maut is telling him, when he asked, "How much of time do I have left? He pointed with five fingers. And when he had his dream interpreted, he was told, because he sent this message to Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah, and then he was told that five doesn't refer to 5 days or 5 months or 5 years. What it refers to, the five aspects in Surah Luqman that are matters of the unseen that Allah alone knows. So this aspect of death is detailed in this chapter that we heard this morning, which is Alif Lam Mim Sajda. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Malakul Maut will come and take you in full. And interestingly, Allah doesn't even mention the name of Malakul Maut. So much so that the time of death is ambiguous. The place where we will die is totally unknown to us. The manner in which we will die is totally unknown to us. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's report in Sunan Ibn Majah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah has decreed someone's death somewhere, Allah will make it that he has a need to go there. And when he reaches the point where he has to die, Allah takes him away. قَبَضَهُ اللَّهُ. That's why we have to remember death profusely. We don't know where are our last steps. Which are our last moments? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu's report. He says, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a man from the Ansar came. And he greeted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's the most virtuous of believers? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most virtuous is he who has the best of character. أحسنهم خلقا. Allah give us akhlaq and character. Then he asked, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَكْيَسْ. Who is the wisest of all believers? The most prudent and intelligent of all believers? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْمَوْتِ ذِكْرًا. The most intelligent is he who, subhanAllah, what would we say? The one who has the best investments, the one who is most well-to-do, the one whose degrees and achievements of this world is most abundant and renowned. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who remembers death profusely and he who prepares for it abundantly. أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْمَوْتِ ذِكْرًا وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ لِمَا بَعْدَهُ إِسْتِعْدَادًا أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَكْيَاسِ. Those are the wisest and the most prudent of men. In Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is in Tirmidhi, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Frequently remember the cutter of pleasures. Frequently, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to remember death profusely, abundantly, frequently, daily, repeatedly. One of the lengthy ahadith concerning the grave and the questions in the grave was explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the graveside whilst the Sahabi radiallahu anhu was digging the grave. At that time, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a person passed away, someone was called to dig the grave immediately. And famous about digging the graves in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time was Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. These two were famous in this task, and what gave them the aspiration, subhanAllah, to dig the grave is the virtue of digging the grave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who arranges for his brother and digs for his brother a grave is as though he gave him a house, the reward of giving someone a house. So the virtues is what should drive us to do good deeds, meaning the deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum were the first to do all good deeds. They would aspire to do those good deeds, first to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the rewards that are promised for deeds are so phenomenal. So those rewards should also encourage us. So we should also read and learn the virtues of actions, the fada'il of good deeds. These are virtues, this is knowledge that every one of us should aspire to learn. So Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu would dig the shiqq, that's one method of digging the grave, and Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu would dig the lahad. Anyway, whilst the grave was being dug, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this lengthy hadith about the journey of the soul as he departs from this world and as he enters his grave and as he's raised to the heavens and the malaika speak to him with the greatest of honor. And then also, Ya Allah, the soul of the fajir is also explained. And as this person sees the angels and he's petrified and his soul is wrenched from his body, and then it is so painful, like this wool is pulled from this metal comb and so forth. And inside the grave, how he would not be able to answer when he's asked, Man Rabbuk and Ma Deenuk wa Man Nabiyuk. He would say, you know, people used to say this, so this is what it is. So he has no conviction whatsoever. So these are questions that are not to be answered via the tongue. This is a practical analysis. Our life is to prepare for those questions in the grave. In one report, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was by a Sahabi's grave and he went down onto the ground, placing a twig and digging it into the soil, and he then teared. He teared and he said, oh my Sahaba, ikhwani, oh my brothers, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ فَأَعِدُّوهُ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ فَأَعِدُّوهُ. For such a day, we all should prepare. He encouraged them, prepare for such a day. We prepare for our appointments. We prepare for our classes. We prepare for our work. We prepare for our meetings. We prepare for worldly achievements. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, prioritize this preparation, this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِمِثْ لِهَذَا الْيَوْمِ فَأَعِدُّوا. Whilst we were mentioning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who would dig the graves, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this transitory world, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was wondering which grave should be dug for Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he then asked Allah's guidance and he sent two emissaries, two Sahaba to call, one to call Abu Talha and the other to call Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhuma. And in Hazrat Abu Bakr's heart, whoever Allah wills should come first, that is what Allah will choose for His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allahu Akbar, Allah willed that Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari came first. And he then dug the blessed grave of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this chapter 41, verses 30-31, Allah Ta'ala says, the Malaika then say to them, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ, as this person leaves this world, do not fear. Do not fear the forthcoming stages. Allah is going to take care of you. So his fear is rest assured. And he's told not to grieve, not to grieve over the departure of your loved ones. Allah is going to take care of them, like Allah took care of them in your presence. Subhanallah. A person worries what will happen to his family, what will happen to his children. Allah says, do not grieve over their departure. That's why Allah replaces a believer with the best of companionship and the best of company in the afterlife. And he's given much more comforts in the afterlife than in this world. And he's now given rest and comforts, like that of the comfort of the bride. Nam kanawmatil arus. And his grave is vastened for him. The malaika say to him in verses 31, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your protectors. We are your friends and helpers. In this world as well as the afterlife. In this world also. And in the afterlife as well. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. And for you, by Allah, is whatever your soul desires. And whatever you ask for. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. This is hospitality. مهمان نوازي. غفور الرحيم کی طرف سے ہے. From Allah, the all-forgiving, the all-merciful. غفور. All-forgiving. And it also means that Allah who covered our faults and our weaknesses and our mistakes, where we tried, He appreciated that. Where we made mistakes, He covered us. And in the afterlife also, through His mercy, He'll conceal us. Ghafoor. But then we learn that, oh Allah, how will we be able to continue with such istiqamah? And for you and I, we just experienced this beautiful month of Ramadan. Allah help us continue with this beautiful iman and yaqeen and conviction and good deeds and tilawah of the Quran and our connection to the masjid, our spending time in the masjid in ibadat, our character when we dealt with people, us keeping our cool, us paying people more, paying people on time, giving people their dues, bringing others to the masjid, inspiring others to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing others to deen, bringing, joining the gush and bringing Muslims to the masjid, and on a day-to-day basis and on a daily basis, wherever we find the opportunity, bringing non-Muslims as well. Oh Allah, how will we be able to do this throughout our lives? So in the next verse, subhanallah, Quran answers that question. How do we continue with this belief? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. This is answered in the next verse, which is verses 33. Allah poses a question, subhanallah, in a greatly emphatic manner. So basically, Quran is presenting a challenge. One is a statement to answer the previous curiosity, that how would we bring this into our lives? But Allah answers in the manner of a question being posed, and a question which has emphasis and has a challenge in it. One is you make a statement. The other is you challenge someone. This house is a wonderful house. And the other is you say, bring me another that's better than it. In the second statement, you're actually challenging. Oh, this car is wonderful. Oh, bring me something better. You won't find it. The second statement, this is just for example's sake, is much more emphatic. And here, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Instead of the Qur'an al-Kareem saying that there's nothing better than he who calls to Allah. Here Quran is saying, who can be better in speech? Whose words are better than he who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah give us tawfiq to call to Allah. So what this verse is teaching us, when we will call to Allah, Allah will enable us to remain firm on the best of deeds. So do good deeds and invite others. Through that Allah will give us more istiqamah in our good deeds. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And who is better in speech than he who calls to Allah? But it's not only to call to Allah. That's the first of these important qualities to bring istiqamah into our lives. First is to call to Allah. Then, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he does good deeds himself. It's not that just tell others and we forget about ourselves. No, we have to also do good deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ Muslimin. And what does he say? I am from the believers. I am from the Muslim community. In this statement, there's a lot of lessons. He doesn't consider himself as better than others. He says, no, I am with everybody else. He considers himself as very ordinary. So here we learn, in this is an indication to humility, humbleness. He doesn't now, because he's doing da'wah, consider himself better than the next, but he considers equality and respect for one and all. And in this meaning, in this min al muslimin, there's also an indication to sincerity. Muslim is to give in to Allah sincerely. So he says that in this is an indication, a lesson of sincerity. And muslimin also has the quality of obedience, to submit and obey. Allah give us these beautiful qualities. And in this is the quality of unity, how to bring everybody together and unite, irrespective of color, race, nationality, background. We all are one. We are one ummah. We love each other. We respect each other. We do not look down upon the next because of the family he comes from, or the background he hails from, or the nationality that he comes from, or the language that he speaks, or the way he articulates. We look down upon none, and we love and respect one and all. And he doesn't deem himself better because of the town or the gam or the area or the language that he speaks. No, he doesn't consider himself better. But innani minal muslimin sabko lekar chalna hai. And in this is also the quality of responsibility. Why are you doing this? Because I am from the Muslims. Why you have to give da'wah? Why you have to save people? Why you have to bring people? Why you have to give so much of time to people? Innani minal muslimin. I am from the Muslims. So in this is also an indication to our responsibility. Then the next verses also highlight something very important as a quality of a mu'min, and also to bring istiqamah into our lives. And this is a highlighted quality in this chapter. And this is verses 34 and 35, subhanallah, where Allah says, good and evil can never be equal. So Allah teaches us how to repel the bad character of others. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Somebody harms you, repel his harm in a manner that is beautiful. Repel their disrespect with respect. Repel their harm and their harsh words with kind words, in a manner that is beautiful, in a manner that is kind. We see this in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he treated people despite them ill-treating him. We see this in the lives of Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum. Even at times where people insulted them, how did they react? Subhanallah. They learned this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, this akhlaq with which we treat people, which is the weightiest of deeds, فَإِذَا, all of a sudden, he who has hostility towards you and towards the deen, Allah will make it that كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become like a bosom, close friend and buddy. So this quality of akhlaq is so emphasized in this verse. Then Quran says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. None can attain this quality except those who endure patience. So beautifully, yeah, Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Radhiyallahu Anhu, Sahab Damul Barakatuhum, explains that, see this verse, yulaqqaha, this tashdeed here indicates to this quality not coming easily. This comes after great sacrifice, striving for Allah, traveling for Allah, striving for Allah, tolerating for Allah. After sacrifice and effort, yulaqqaha, not just yalqaha. None will just receive this quality easily, but those who are patient. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And none would receive these beautiful qualities of da'wat, good deeds, and such qualities of humility, humbleness, and especially character. Because this is mentioned just after the character. Except one who is a very fortunate one. Truly fortunate one. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that certainly, يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Verily, when shaitan injects you and tempts you, seek Allah's protection. So what we learn from here, this يَنْزَغَنَّكَ, this noon has emphasis in it, that shaitan will inject one. What will he inject into a person? What would he tempt a person to do? When we look at the context of the verse discusses inviting to Allah and good deeds and character. What we learn from here, shaitan doesn't want one to invite to Allah. He doesn't want one to take people to Jannah. So he will inject, subhanallah. Allah says, seek Allah's protection. Allah is hearing you. Allah is knowing what you are going through. Allah hears your plea. Allah sees your condition. Allah knows what's troubling you in your heart. Still invite to Allah, and Allah will help you, and make dua to Allah. Allah is listening. Innahu huwa as-sami'ul alim. There's so much of emphasis in this verse. This verse is repeated twice in the Quran. But here more emphatically, innahu huwa as-sami'ul alim. And the context denotes that yes, when one wants to invite to Allah, shaitan cannot bear it that he must invite to Allah. Rather, he should leave others and neglect others and just worry for himself. What we learn from here is shaitan does not want us to care for the hidayat of others and for the guidance of others. And shaitan does not want us to bring others. But when we bring others and we make effort on mankind, Allah becomes happy and Allah becomes pleased. And this becomes a means that we would be able to live our life with istiqamat and die upon iman. And this we learn from the context of this chapter and these verses. One is the gush. Allah give us tawfiq to participate in that. That's to bring our Muslim brothers and remind each other and connect each other to Allah. And the other is inviting to Allah also refers to the non-Muslims on our daily basis. On a daily basis, invite people wherever we can. Invite them, bring them, show them, guide them. My brother, you make effort on other brothers, on other men. My sister, you make effort on other sisters. Like this, we make effort on one person. This is our duty as expressed in these verses. But one interesting incident we learn about the gush, which is to go and bring Muslims. There's an amazing incident that a question that was posed to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, where a man asked him, that Hazrat, I normally make my qada umri between Maghrib and Isha, but the brothers want me to join them for gush. So subhanallah, look at the wisdom of Hazrat Mufti Sahab. That what's the benefit of gush? Through gush, our iman becomes strong. And other Muslims are reminded about Allah. So Hazrat didn't just say, no, you must do your qada umri because that is compulsory for you. But Hazrat said that on a Monday when the brothers are doing the gush, you join in the gush. And later on after Isha, you take that 1 hour and you make your qada umri there. Or if you open your store at 8 in the morning, then on that day, open it at 9. Or do your qada umri from 7 to 8 at that time. But don't miss your gush. Subhanallah. How wise of our ulama. How beautifully did he express to this individual that yes, you have to do your qada umri, but protecting our iman and the iman of the community and the iman of humanity is of the greatest importance as well. Like expressed in the Quran Kareem in Surah Al-Asr, where Allah mentions, to come out of destruction, iman and amal is not sufficient. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. Collectively call others to iman and truth and good deeds. Tawasaw, from the word wasiyah.
ووصى بها إبراهيم to strongly advise others. And تواصوا تفاعل means collectively. سبحان الله. So Allah give us توفيق. And this is what we all need to do to uplift the society, to uplift humanity, and to come out of خسر. إن الإنسان لفي خسر. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us توفيق. And subhanAllah, the context here is so amazing. We even verses 37. After the verse about shaitan injecting into a person, the next verse discusses the signs of Allah's greatness. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And among the signs of Allah and the greatness of Allah is that everything Allah made around us, اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. What we learn from here is these verses are even teaching us how to explain to people who is Allah. What examples to give them, subhanAllah. So the Qur'an al-Kareem expresses how to explain to humanity who is Allah so clearly. Qur'an al-Kareem doesn't just mention it through inference, but clear, saraha. Explicitly the Qur'an al-Kareem teaches us how to recognize Allah through His beautiful signs and how to explain this to all mankind. Allah give us tawfiq.